Okay, thank you for the introduction. So today I'd like to tell you about the recent interesting development about the N=2 supersymmetric field theory, namely the understanding of its strong weak coupling duality. So the very prototypical case of S-duality is, of course, the N=4 supersymmetric version. And its S-duality was first indicated by Monton and Olive in 1976 or something, '77. And so the basic statement is that this theory with gauge group G at coupling constant tau is equivalent to G Langlands dual group at coupling minus one over NG times tau, where NG, well, NG is the ratio of this length, squared length of long roots, short roots. So this is intensively studied for the last, I mean, 20 years or something. And one nice geometric way to understand this construction was found by Vafa, I think, in terms of this mysterious six-dimensional theory, which is one of the topics of this workshop. So you start from six-dimensional theory, and you compactify that on P2. So six-dimensional theory has an ADE classification. So you can choose curly G, which can be either AN or DN or EN. And you can compactify that theory on T2 to get the four-dimensional theory. This naturally gives only the simply based version of the gauge theories, but with a bit of a trick, you can get non-simply based version of the 4D theory. And the basic statement is that if the modulus of the torus is tau, you get the gauge theory at coupling constant tau. But of course, you can view one torus in two different ways. So the modulus tau is equivalent to modulus one over tau. This way, this very non-trivial, strong weak coupled duality becomes just a geometric relabeling of the complex structure of the torus. So this was done by Vafa, I think, in 1997. Right. So this was the case with N=4 supersymmetry. It is very natural to look for something more general by reducing the number of the supersymmetry. So instead, you want to consider N=2 supersymmetric theories. And a serious study of these theories were, of course, initiated by Seiberg and Witten in 1994. And in the second of their paper, they already talked about one specific case of S-duality of N=2 supermLs, namely, if you consider SU2 gauge theory with N=2 supersymmetry with four flavors. I will explain these physics jargons later more carefully. But what they found is that if you consider this theory, this theory is, in some sense, self-dual under strong weak coupling duality. Now, so this was done in 1994. There was a gap of about 10 or 15 years between this simple example and the next example of this N=2 S-duality. And the breakthrough came with the paper by Argyres Cyberg in 2007, and a follow-up paper by Argyris and his student Wittig. So they found that how to extend this analysis to, for example, say n equals 2, SU3 with 6 flavors. And one surprising thing they found is that its S dual involves not just standard Lagrangian field theories. So I will explain the term Lagrangian theory and the non-Lagrangian theory, but what they found is that you need a very strange dual theory. So because n equals 4 version has this nice geometric interpretation, it is very natural to wonder whether there is a similar understanding of this n equals 2 S duality. And indeed, there is such an understanding. So the only necessary generalization is to change the 2-manifold you compactify this 6-dimensional theory on. So you start from the same 6-dimensional theory of type A or D or E, and you just compactify this on a generic Riemann surface with a certain number of punctures labeled by some extra discrete data. So you compactify 6-dimensional theory on this Riemann surface with punctures, and you get n equals 2 theory. So basically, because because a Riemann surface except torus is not flat. So because of the curvature, half of the supersymmetry was necessarily broken. So you get some smaller supersymmetry system. But it is still true that a Riemann surface can, the complex structure of the Riemann surface can be parameterized in many ways, just as a torus can be parameterized by either tau or minus 1 over tau. So corresponding to that fact, there is a you can associate many description to a given Riemann surface. Six-dimensional theory on a given Riemann surface. So that's the general idea, and this was done by Gaiotto in 2009. So I'd like to explain how this n equals 2 version of the S duality works. And so before going into further detail, let me continue a kind of a motivational talk, which was already, in some sense, done by Sergei in the first day. But I think it is important to have a broad overview of the construction. So so let me state the main idea again. So you start from the 6D theory with type G, which is one of A for D or E. So you can think of this construction as a way to associate 4D CFT, 4D theory, for a given Riemann surface. So I don't know what is the precise mathematical way to phrase it, but there is a space of the Riemann surfaces, set all of the Riemann surfaces, and there is a very big, very sophisticated operation which associates to a Riemann surface some CFT in 4 dimensions. So n equals 2 superconformal field theory is a mathematical object. Its axioms are not written down anywhere, but in principle, it's something possible. So it is a mathematical object. So this construction, starting from the 6-dimensional theory, from a mathematical point of view, is just a nice map or functor or whatever between the Riemann, the space of the Riemann surfaces to the space of the n equals to SCFTs. And this map in 4D. Yeah, so this associates, because you contactify six-dimensional theory on a two-dimensional surface, you get a 4D theory. One good thing about this 4D SCFT map is that it behaves naturally when the Riemann surface degenerates. So, for example, if Riemann surfaces you consider degenerate, then the SCFT you associate to this degenerating Riemann surface decompose in some sense, which I explain carefully later, to the sum of SCFT associated to two components to which the Riemann surface are decomposed, which also couple to gauge group G, gauge multiplet G. At coupling constant given by log of Q, where this Q is the plumbing length of this degenerating Riemann surface. So, well, if you have four punctured sphere with this configuration, the coupling constant tau of the gauge theory is given basically by this length of the Riemann surface. So I should have said that the imaginary part of tau, when imaginary part of tau is big, it is a weakly coupled theory, which is easy to analyze. And if imaginary part of tau is very close to zero, it's a strongly coupled theory and difficult to analyze. So the longer this cube is, it is easier to analyze because of this map. Now, so I need to explain what this summation of two SCFT and what I mean by the coupling of the gauge group to another SCFT. But at this stage, you just need to remember that this map or functor which associate SCFT, 4D SCFT to the Riemann surface satisfies a very nice condition, which is kind of like a condition for the TQFT, or two-dimensional TQFT, or two-dimensional CFT. So another way to say is this. So as you know, the two-dimensional TQFT associates, or CFT associates to a Riemann surface with punctures a certain number, right? And CFT or TQFT is, in some sense, a mapping from this space to a number satisfying a certain axioms, which, for example, one important part of the axiom is that this association of number. So let's say this map Z is somehow factorized, basically, with a certain number of with certain extra integration or sum over the states associated to this degenerate puncture, right? So this is the axiom of the TQFT. So you should think of this construction of assigning for the SCFT to the Riemann surface as a 2D TQFT or 2D CFT whose value is no longer a number, but whose value is a 4D SCFT, which is a mathematical object. So 4D SCFT has a natural operation of the summation or the coupling to something. And I will explain that. Yeah, so that's the essence of what I'm going to say. So So suppose we understand or have some idea of this very big operation, which is a map from the space of the Riemann surface to the space of SCFT. Because an n equals 2 SCFT is a mathematical object, you can calculate or associate many other simpler mathematical objects to that. So my analogy is this. Suppose you have a Riemannian manifold X. You can calculate many quantities, like its volume, or its cohomology, or its Euler number, right? So just like this, for a given n equals 2 SCFT, you can, so this is a very complicated but mathematical object. Eventually, you need to write down the axioms and formulate it. But physicists already know that there are many things which you can naturally associate to integers called NH and NV, which I will explain, and also something called the Coulomb branch, which is a complex manifold, also a Higgs branch, which is a hypercurler manifold. And there are many more. You can calculate the prepotential or Nekrasov partition function. Or you can calculate the partition function on S4, which Vasily explained yesterday. Or there are some other quantity, which is called the superconformal index. So there are many quantities. Some of them are, but some of them are not. So these quantities have various different properties. So for example, for a Riemannian manifold X, the volume of X depends on the metric on it. But the homology class or Euler number doesn't depend. So there are quantities which depends on less properties and more properties. Like similarly, these quantities don't depend on tau. Tau is basically the complex structure of the Riemann surface. On the other hand, this quantity depends on tau. So there are various classes of quantities which might or might not depend on the complex structure. So what we do now is to compose this operation for the SCFT, which associates us for the SCFT to a Riemann surface with some of this operation, right? So what happens is that oh, I shouldn't have erased this, but given a Riemann surface with punctures, you can use this map, SCFTG, to associate n equals 2 theory, T, depending on this. Now you compose, say, neck ZS4. So you get some number, C. The good thing is that this map behaves naturally, in some sense, under the degeneration of the Riemann surface. This map acts naturally under the composition of SCFT. So this means that, basically, this combined operation naturally satisfies the axiom of 2D CFT. So almost by construction, although nobody has done writing down the required axioms, but morally speaking, the construction itself says that this combination of two operations should give a 2D CFT.
Otherwise, for example, you wouldn't have the independence
Yes, yes, I assure, yeah. Yeah, so the, so everything. Yeah, so, yeah, thank you, yeah. So the point is, from the Fourth point of view, everything looks mysterious. But assuming the existence of the sixth dimensional theory, which is mysterious and which we still don't quite know well, you expect that the final thing is 2D CFT. So from the physicist's point of view, in some sense, we are physically motivated that this composition should give a 2D CFT, and we want to check that. So by checking that explicitly, or by proving that rigorously, you have more confidence in the existence of the six-dimensional theory. So that's how it works. Instead of using this map, you can use this superconformal index, which unfortunately I don't have time to talk about. But this is a very nice quantity, which depends on elliptic gamma functions. So as I just said, this doesn't depend on t. So in this case, you get, if you compose these two, you get really 2D TQFT based on elliptic gamma functions, which is a very sophisticated special functions, it really does give a standard TQFT. Or you can compose this map with this Higgs branch map. In the case of the Higgs branch map, the final result is a hyperkähler manifold with an isometry. In this case, I can already tell you what this composition does. So for theory T1, you associate Higgs branch of T1. And for another theory T2, you associate the Higgs branch of T2. Both are hyperkähler manifold. The composition operation takes the product of these two, and you perform the hyperkähler reduction with respect to the trifold holomorphic isometry of G acting on both sides. So if you compose this operation SCFTG and the Higgs branch map, you get the TQFT whose value is not a number, but whose value is a hyperkähler manifold. So this is a nice class of new TQFT which needs to be studied. So this is the main construction. So from the physicist's point of view, we need to understand what this functor or function or map is. To mathematicians, we can tell you many types of 2D SCF, 2D TQFT or 2D CFT, which takes value in various interesting mathematical objects. And you can check that the S-duality, various axioms of 2D field theory are satisfied. Okay, so that's the general description. And I'd like to tell you a bit more about this composition operation of n equals to SCFT. In order to explain that, first I need to explain the distinction between Lagrangian n equals 2 theory and the non-Lagrangian n equals 2 theory. So it is unfortunate that the word Lagrangian means a very specific sense in mathematics, which is not the sense I'm using here. So roughly speaking, a Lagrangian theory has a path integral description. And a non-Lagrangian theory does not have such a path integral description. So we physicists always had the fun to tell mathematicians that you need to do this infinite dimensional integral called path integrals. And we we are fond of confusing mathematicians that way. But now we have an even more confusing way to confuse mathematicians, because these Lagrangian theories even don't have a description as an infinite dimensional integral. Now we only have the set of correlators and such of operators which satisfy certain axioms. So it's defined in a mysterious way, even for physicists. So let's first talk about Lagrangian n equals 2 theory. It is basically given by two data. One is G, which is a so-called gauge group, which is a compact Lie group, and a pseudo-real representation of G, which I denote by rho twiddle. Using these data, one natural thing to write down is the Dirac equation. So well, for simplicity, let's consider Euclidean R4, and you write something like gamma mu, partial mu, plus gauge connection in the representation rho, acting on a spinner, where this spinner is a section of a spin bundle. So you tensor the standard spin bundle of SO spin 4, which is basically SU2 times SU2. So you take one SU2 and take the fundamental representation of that, and take the tensor product with the representation of rho. And you need to impose a Majorana condition. So this, the point is, the fundamental representation is pseudo-real, right? And by definition, rho is also pseudo-real. So the tensor product is strictly real. So there is a map, so conjugate linear map, C acting on psi, which squares to 1. So you need to restrict it to a real part using that. So this is the classical equation. And you can think of n equals 2 Lagrangian theory as a quantized supersymmetric version of this. Now, for representation rho, you have a very important quantity, which is called a current algebra central charge, K, well, which in the math, and which is also called just a contribution to the one loop beta function, which physicists all know, is defined as a. First, this is confusing for generic pseudo-real representation. So let's consider the special case where this rho twiddle is given by a direct sum of a representation rho and its complex conjugate rho star. In this case, this condition just relates the component of psi in rho and rho star. So the Dirac equation just boils down to the standard Dirac equation without this condition. Now, we associate some number called k of g of this rho plus rho star to be twice the dimension of the index of this Dirac operator dA. When A is an one instanton configuration. Here, one instanton means that its Chern class is the smallest possible, except zero. So this is a certain number. Um, let me note a few examples. If you take kg of a joint plus a joint, this becomes four times the dual Coxeter number of G. And if you take KG, so KSUN of fundamental representation plus its bar, you get two. This number is quite important because it determines the behavior of a gauge theory. So if you are given a choice of G and rho, there are three possibilities. Whether kg of rho is bigger than 4hv, or if it's equal, or if it's smaller than 4 times h star g. So the first one is called infrared free. And this becomes a super conformal. And this is called asymptotically free. So the idea is that if you plot the coupling constant of the theory with respect to the energy scale, imaginary part of tau, if you are in this case, the coupling constant behaves like this. So as you go to low energy, it becomes weakly coupled. So it's not interesting in low energy. And one thing is that there's no sense of setting tau because it changes with scale. Second case, tau remains constant. And the third case, tau becomes very strong in low energy. So in some sense, this case is most interesting, but it's a bit too difficult for the purpose of today, so we only consider this case. So let me give you two examples of such superconformal theory. One is to take whatever gauge group G and to take rho to be adjoint plus adjoint, just as I wrote there. This theory is, in fact, the standard n equals 4 super Young Mills, which is super conformal and has parameter, tunable parameter tau. Another example is to take G to be SUN and rho to be n times 2n bar plus n bar times 2n of SUN times U2n. And because of this relation, I mean, HV of SUN is, as you know, n. Because you have 2n copies of the same representation, again, you saturate this bound, and you get a superconformal theory. So this theory is called SUN, n equals 2 SUN theory with 2n flavors in the physics jargon. The important thing is that although this path is coupled to physical gauge group, you still have this extra symmetry. So this remains as something physicists call flavor symmetry. OK. Now I can introduce many quantities I introduced in the introduction. So for a given theory G with rho twiddle, let me denote this theory as rho twiddle divided by G, because in some sense you gauge and divide and remove the gauge group G. What we call NV, number of vector multiplet, of this theory is just dimension of G. NH of this theory, which is number of hypermultiplets. Because Rolle Tweedle is a pseudo-real representation, it naturally has a hyperkähler structure. So it is called hypermultiplets in field theory language. So it is very natural to count the hyperkähler dimension, hyperquaternionic dimension of this representation, which is basically a complex dimension of 1/2 if Rolle Tweedle is given by Rolle plus Rolle star. You can also consider K of the flavor symmetry. We require the condition that K of the gauge symmetry is 4 times HV, but you can still calculate the other part of K, and this is just by definition this. So I forgot to say that this K is just a standard normalized quadratic Casimirs of a representation, so that for the adjoint it has dual Coxeter number. So it's nothing special. And we have physical quantities like Coulomb branch. So Coulomb branch of this theory is a complex variety given by the ring of this form. So phi is a variable in the adjoint of G, and you take the invariant part under the action, natural action of G. In other words, this is a freely generated ring by R variables, where R is the rank of G. Important thing is to associate the so-called dimension, which is 1 plus the exponents of G. So for SUN, UR is just trace of phi to the power I plus 1 from I goes to 1 to n minus 1. And so you assign degree 1 to phi, and UI has natural degree assigned, inherited from that construction. So this is the Coulomb branch. And finally, you have Higgs branch of rho divided by G, which is just a hyperkähler quotient of this rho by G.
Are you missing the word spec?
OK, thank you. Yes. So Coulomb branch is not that interesting because it's always freely generated. But the important thing is this assignment of the degrees or dimensions in physical language. And Higgs branch is usually hyperkähler cone. So important thing is that the quantities in this blackboard doesn't depend on tau. Okay, and there are also a few quantities which do depend on tau, like prepotential, Nekrasov partition function, or partition function on S4, or family of the Seiberg-Witten curves, etc., etc. So you can associate many more things, but I will talk more about it next week. So today, for the sake of simplicity, I will just going to talk about these quantities which are independent of tau. Now I can discuss S-duality. So the statement that n equals 4 super mL with gauge group G is equal to that for LG with some different coupling constant, so this is a physical statement, leads to the agreement of these NV or NH or KF, et cetera, to between these two theories. And for N equals 4 superior males, it is quite obvious. So the only non-trivial thing is when you take this to be SPN, and if you take this to be SO, 2N plus 1, I would like to say USP2N. The only non-trivial thing is that the agreement of the exponents of two dual groups and agreement of the dimension. The simplest case of S-duality of S, N equals 2 theory is for N equals 2 SU2 with 4 flavors. So as I told you, this is a jargon for the choice of raw to be 2 times 4 plus 2 bar times 4 of SU2 times U4. But in fact, for SU2, 2 and 2 bar are the same. So you can instead write this as 2 tensored with R8, eight-dimensional real representation of SO8, tensored over R. So this case has SO8 flavor symmetry. And the statement is that, so there are 3 SO, eight-dimensional representation of SO8, so you need to distinguish them. So what Seiberg and Witten found in 1994 is that theory SU2 with rho, which is 2 times RV8, so you have 3 choices of such theories, right? In the spinor representation and another spinor representation, they are equal for 3 different value of tau related by S duality. I mean, related by SL2Z action. So,
can I ask you, in this case, tau is the parameter of the elliptic curve of the supercapacitor.
Yes.
In other words, in that functor you described,
yes.
The output is
empty. Right. Yes.
Now, in this case, what is the curve?
I will explain that soon.
The question is, what is tau? It's not an empty curve.
It's I will give the explanation. So it associated to fourth punctured sphere. Then you need to mark 4 punctures, and there are 3 ways of degeneration, right? They correspond to these 3 distinctions. Yeah. So tau is the tau of the double cover, I mean, constructed from this four punctured sphere. Yeah, elliptic curve. Yeah.
In general, when you
In general, you need many more.
But then they would have to match the triangle.
Yeah, right. No, you can have more. Yeah. So most of the agreement are almost clear, except the agreement of the Higgs branch. Because strictly speaking, they belong to a different representation of SO8. So there's no guarantee that this hyperkähler quotient is the same. But in fact, it's the same because the hyperkähler quotient given by this construction is in fact one instanton moduli of SO8. Or in other words, it's a minimal nilpotent orbit of SO8, which only depends on, which is this can be described by the adjoint of SO8. So it doesn't depend on the triality of SO8. So that's the classic examples. And then we come to non-Lagrangian theory. But I don't have much to talk about it. I mean, I don't have much I can talk about it because it's mysterious even to physicists. I cannot describe. So non-Lagrangian theory. Mysterious guys, but still it has NV, NH, Coulomb branch, Higgs branch, etc., etc. One particular example was constructed by Minahan and Nemechansky in 1996. They come in three varieties associated to E, 6, and 7, and 8. And they have the following data. Well, it doesn't really matter whether I write down these numbers or not. I just wanted to say that some of the data is known. Coulomb branch, I mean, the ring of function of the Coulomb branch is all just C of U. But the dimensions are different, or degree are different, and degree is given by 3, 4, and 6. So they cannot come from Lagrangian theory, because every gauge group has a degree 2 invariant operator, so they are not Lagrangian theory. And the flavor symmetry is E6, E7, and E8. Which is also impossible for Lagrangian theory because flavor symmetry for, I mean, pseudo-real representation is always classical groups. And the Higgs branch is one instanton moduli space of, I mean, centered. Framed instanton moduli space of E6, E7, and E8. So it's kind of like a generalization of this, because this theory, SU2 with four flavors, has Higgs branch, which is the minimal nilpotent orbit of SO8, and there is a natural generalization to E6, E7, and E8, and whose hyperkähler dimension is 11, 17, and 29. And K of E, so for a flavor symmetry, you also have K, and which is given by 6, 8, and 12. Anyway, something is known.
So in what way did they construct?
They constructed the family of the Seiberg-Witten curve. Yeah, I should have said that. So family of the Seiberg-Witten curve for this theory is an elliptic fibration of the Coulomb branch. And there's a classification due to Kodaira of how elliptic fiber can degenerate at one point. And they correspond to E-type degeneration. This theory corresponds to the D4-type degeneration.
In principle,
yes, yes.
A and Z,
Yes, yeah.
Plus
yeah, plus a few one. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't want to talk about it because those guys have rational, I mean, non-integral degree for the Coulomb branch parameters. So they are even more complicated, and I don't want to talk. Yeah. So now let me describe the Argyrus Seiberg duality, the prototypical case. Ah, sorry, I'm running out of time, but I need to explain the operation on the SCFT. Before I need to talk about that before explaining Argyrus Seiberg. So given two n equals two SCFT, A and B, you can consider a theory A plus B, which is just a disconnected sum of two theories, which doesn't talk to each other, but you just take them as one. Important thing is that NV or NH behave additively on K, and the Coulomb branch, Higgs branch, is just a direct product. Another operation is that if a theory A has a flavor symmetry, for the moment say F twiddle, then you can take a subgroup G. And suppose, furthermore, K G of this theory A is 4 times H V of G. Then you can couple this theory. There is a theory called A coupled to G at coupling tau. So you introduce an extra gauge field to this strange theory. Then they behave, the various quantities behave in this way. So NV of A divided G is NV of A plus dimension of G, because you add gauge group. So it's slightly strange that I write this as a division, but well, anyway. NH of A over G is still NH of A. And the Coulomb branch, branch of A over G, I mean, the function, ring of function on the Coulomb branch of A over G is given by Coulomb branch of A times C of phi, I mean, invariant part of G. And the flavor symmetry, symmetry F. Pardon? Degrees are inherited, yeah. Phi, degrees of phi is one, always one, yeah. So this phi is adjoint of Z. So flavor symmetry of this theory is a commutant of G in flavor symmetry of A. And finally, Higgs branch of A over G is just a Higgs branch of A divided by G in the hyperkähler quotient sense. So one thing you immediately notice is that the Lagrangian theory, I shouldn't erase this, so sorry. Lagrangian theory is included in this construction, right? So I mean, rho divided by g is a theory which you couple g to a very trivial theory, rho twiddle, which is just a free linear space. So nv of this is zero, and h of this is dimension of rho. Higgs branch is this itself. Coulomb branch is empty, et cetera, et cetera. And if you use this formula, you get the rule I already explained in the case of Lagrangian theory.
I guess you should do it several times if you need it several times.
Yes. So let me finally give, so I didn't have time to explain how Riemann surface associates to CFT, but that, so I give you a cyber example is this. Let's take G to be SU3 and rho to be three times 6 bar plus 3 bar times 6. So the symmetry here is SU3 times U6, right? So the U6 flavor symmetry. The dual theory is G equals SU2, which is totally bizarre. You have one fundamental of SU2 in addition to Minahan and Nemchinsky theory of E6. So remember that the E6 has a certain maximal subgroup of the form SU2 times SU2 times SU6, right? And now, please recall that in the first part of my talk, I said that K SU2 of this rho is 2. And K of SU2 of this Minahan-Nemchinsky theory of E6 is because the embedding of SU2 inside the E6 doesn't change the normalization of the Killing metric. This is just K of E6 of Minahan-Nemchinsky of E6. So this is 6. So the total K of SU2 is 8, which is 4 times HV of SU2. So it's possible to couple this combination of objects to the gauge group. And you can compare NV and NH, etc. But the one of the most interesting thing is to compare the Higgs branch. So Higgs branch, so because these are S dual and the Higgs branch is independent of tau, the Higgs branch should agree. So on this side, you have, 3 times 6 bar plus 3 bar times 6 divided by SU3. On the other side, you have 2 times R2 over R times minimal nilpotent orbit of E6 divided by SU2, which looks completely different. But for example, you at least can easily calculate its dimension, assuming that both groups act very nicely. So here, the hyperkilo dimension is 18. This has dimension 8, so the dimension is 10. Here, this has dimension 2, hyperkilo dimension is 2, and the minimally potent orbit of E6 is given by, HV of E6 minus 1. Dimension is given by that, so it's 11, and you need to subtract 3, and it's 10. And with Gaiotto and Knightsky, we spent one must to compare the defining equation of these two as a complex variety, and they agree. So it's a horrible calculation. And we also compare the twister space, and they also agree. We couldn't check that the twister lines in that twister space agree, but we calculated scalar class numerically on both sides, and they agree. So we believe that they are really the same Higgs branch, same Hypergalois manifold. And my time is up, and I need to explain how these examples come from the Riemann surface, but what should I do? 30 minutes. So I cannot do that now. Well, I have two talks next week, so I might post. Okay. Yeah, I will be happy to do that. Okay. So thank you very much.
Any questions?
Yes. So the question was whether it is known how to get E7 and E8, and it's in various papers of mine and my collaborators. But not many checks were performed. For example, this calculation of the Higgs branch are horrible, and we haven't done that for the other cases. So that's not quite true, because Higgs branch, I mean, the moduli space of the Hitchin equations, which I will going to explain from 330, is the 3D version of the Coulomb branch, not the Higgs branch. So, we can compare the Coulomb branch, and indeed you can show that, but the Higgs branch is a different story. Yes.
So the statement of this duality then is that what these two theories are equivalent.
Yes.
But what is in the useless duality is the tau going in
the right. Right. Here, so I need to use the next 30 minutes, and here tau here goes to 1/(1 − tau). Yeah.
But you explained that this is one of them tau.
Yes, so in this case, you have a sphere with four punctures, but with two different types of punctures. In both cases. Yeah, so this corresponds to the degeneration, like this with two different punctures on this side. And you have another way of degeneration, like this. So there's a third degeneration corresponding to −1/tau. But in fact, for that case, it is known that it is self-dual. But because the type of functions is different in this case, the third degeneration gives a third theory.
So basically, those are the same.
Yes. I think so.
Can't you do it the other way around? And every calculation you can do on a Riemann surface is something you can calculate in any course of four dimensions.
Yeah, I think so.
But any one thing is a four dimensional theory, but a two dimensional theory. When a two dimensional theory cannot capture the physical four dimensional theory.
Some part of the 4D data. Yeah, some part of the 4D data is missing from the 6D theory. So.
And then, for example, another CFT, like real relativity and central charge.
Yeah. It's a difficult question. So not all of the, 4D data is, I don't know.
I mean, one knows that little about this theory. So what is ultimately really statement? I mean, do I understand correctly that basically,
really,
the assumption that one needs to make is that the parameter space of the purification theory remains to be the moduli space of Riemann surfaces.
Yeah.
So, and then furthermore, if one, what we were just mentioning, if one has the Saddle-Whitten theory, or for example, the Saddle-Whitten curve, then one can, of course, analyze what happens with the Saddle-Whitten curve.
Right.
If one goes to some other boundary curve.
Right.
And so basically, I mean, just to make sure I understand the statement, so basically, okay, if you go to some other degeneration, you see, okay, something happens with the Saddle-Whitten in this curve, and then you figure out some features of this theory
that
you do not otherwise to describe in terms of, well, for example, dimensions of the Coulomb branch and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in the afternoon, I will explain how this new n equals 2s duality can be understood from 6D point of view, which is not completely yet logical because we don't know much about 6D theory, but it gives a lot of information what the duality should be. And then you can later use, I mean, more technique developed in 4D to really confirm that there is the S duality. Yeah,
It's also the low energy theory is sort of under control in this way, in this sense, with this assumption.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is that this this weaker gauge construction lets you put together two known theories
into
another theory by gluing a tube between the two functions in the Riemann picture. On the other hand, if you take a degeneration and it's some collection of punctures that you haven't encountered before, it may not have a Lagrange.
No.
It may not have a good way to analyze. So we're sort of missing. I mean, it's true that everything decomposes into primitive pieces.
But one of the primitive pieces is this Minahan-Nemichansky theory, which is very mysterious,
which cannot be
further analyzed.
No more than a random.
Oh, yeah.
Piece, right? Some random Riemann surface with some punctures where we don't really
know. So next week I will going to talk about how you get 2D conformal blocks. Or 2D CFD called Liouville theory or Toda theory out of this construction. So they give, for example, naturally the chiral algebras on the Riemann surface. And also you can get some very non-trivial PQFD.
Thank you very much.